We're gonna play on and stand strong with Trollo and Dibs. Turn the game on, bump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Trollo and Dibs, turn the game on.
We are back. It is still technically Trollo and Dibs. There's just no Joe today. Joe has more important things to deal with, like a brand new child. I don't want to make any, I don't know where we're at progress-wise with the arrival of said child, but with any luck, for Joe's wife's sake, that child has already arrived.
Yeah, and I've been checking the Twitter to see when he'll post it, to see if the over-unders will hit,
right,
and the eye color and all the other props as they continue to come in. See if we can't cash those props.
Now, did we officially, did we get the tickets into Joe? Does he pay out to the winners? Do we know how this all works?
These are all great questions.
We really should have asked this before placing our bets, before handing our money to strangers. We should have figured out exactly where that money was going. Speaking of handing your money to strangers, I know a lot of you are out there playing fantasy football, handing your money to friends and strangers on a weekly basis. We have just the thing for you. Brad Evans, fantasy football expert, will join us in just a few minutes. And as always, you'll have an opportunity to ask him your fantasy questions. The phone number is 888-957-9570. I, of course, will ask about my personal fantasy roster. Dibs will ask about his. Anna will ask about hers. We're all going to get personal advice in the 9 o'clock hour, and it feels good. I'm excited about it.
It's a big week. You okay? Hang in over there.
What happened?
You dropped your phone.
You look very comfortable.
I'm very comfortable.
Always comfortable.
Yeah, Brad does a phenomenal job, though. The GOAT, he's on fire. Once he starts, you just wind him up and let him go. The text line, the phone calls that comes in, and you just hear the plethora amount of information he has and how he delivers. It's always great. I love his energy.
And you will also get a chance, if you missed it earlier today, to hear some of our conversation with Giants President of Baseball Operations Farhan Zaidi. Right around 9:30, we'll be playing some of that. That
great interview, by the way,
was very interesting. And I have to say, we didn't get too much of a chance to talk about it because we went straight to Greg Papa, and we won't have much of a chance now because we'll go to Brad Evans in a minute. But just in general, my impressions of him, I'm not sure they could be much better at this stage. I feel like he's a really smart guy, a really thoughtful guy. And look, he can only say so much about rebuilding a franchise when he hasn't really even started yet. But I like what he says.
He knows where he wants to go. Here's a guy you can listen to the conversation that he had with us. He knows where he wants to go and he knows how to do it. And he understands there's going to be some bumps in the road along the way. And he understands that he has to be delicate in certain situations. He understands why these guys and certain men mean so much to the organization. It was simple because they won and they're winners. And that's what people remember. But at the same sense, he knows he has a fiduciary duty to make this Giants team great again. And he understands what that's going to take. And it's usually when you do that, it's usually painful. Ask the San Francisco 49ers. Ask the Raiders. Ask a lot of teams in rebuild. You saw what the Houston Astros went through. You see what they had to go through to get back to the level of, you know, to be able to compete. It's a painful process. And that's why I ask him those questions about, what do you want the fans to know about you? What do they need to know about you as a person?
Really good question.
And he, you know, yeah, because he wanted people to know that he's a winner, that he wants to win. And in spite of what everyone's going to say and things that he do, Daniel, he wants to truly turn this organization around and have a product that fans can be happy.
Yeah, that surprised me because I didn't think that he wanted to turn this organization around. I thought that he was happy joining a team that is 90 losses year in and year out.
I don't think he's happy, Dibs, but it's still a tough and uncomfortable situation. And that's why he alluded to, he said, I have to be honest with the players. I can't give them false hopes because so many GMs and so many times guys are in that position and they say words and it's not what they mean. And he said he has to be careful of that.
Let me ask you guys this.
Please.
What is a reasonable time frame for the Giants' next playoff appearance?
I think 2 years. So not next year,
you're
2019,
saying,
not 2020, 20,
oh, okay.
But 21.
Okay,
I think
2021.
21, you should be back there because ultimately you still have some pieces. even if you don't touch any part of your infield, you have a pretty good infield, especially defensively. And
yeah,
that was a question I asked him about the outfield, how you reconstruct the outfield. And he said if he had to find corner outfielders and a first baseman, that's a lot better than trying to find a shortstop, a third baseman, and a catcher. So,
and that makes a lot of sense. I mean, those are the power positions. That's where the most power hitters are available. And certainly if you're going to be doing, I don't know what to call it, like in between really good team shopping, you're not trying to sign the biggest name free agent. You're trying to sign capable guys that can fill those positions, right, until your next class of guys arrives.
That was kind of the McCutcheon-Longoria approach last year. Guys who, and unfortunately, you know, you bring in Longoria and he's got a massive contract, and McCutcheon brought in with just the 1 year deal, but McCutcheon might be a guy you look to bring in again. He's a free agent and he might be that kind of guy you throw back in the outfield.
Boy, would you do that again?
I would. I would. For, you know,
he's likable. I'll give him that.
He is.
And he did not hit.
He's durable. He did better for the Yankees, but get him a 2 or 3 year deal. And, you know, like you're saying, just somebody to bridge the gap between where you are and where you're trying to be.
All right. I just feel like that would be like a bad flashback in some ways for Giants fans, even though it's nothing against Andrew McCutcheon, really. He's just a guy getting older who's not what he once was. But
they did that with Pablo Sandoval, a little bit of a flashback, quote unquote.
He was much more beloved the first time around, though.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course.
It's usually that way.
Still a lot of fond feelings for Panda, and maybe not so many for Andrew McCutcheon. Many, many, many fond feelings for the GOAT, Brad Evans, fantasy football expert, who joins us right now to tell us what's cooking with fantasy football. Brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. Brad, I'm Matt Kolsky, filling in for Joe today as he handles the birth of his second child. And I am just going to throw my own personal question at you first, because that's my prerogative. I am in a real wide receiver quagmire in an unfortunately deep league, and I need to find a way to choose three of the following four receivers: Doug Baldwin, Taylor Gabriel, Antonio Callaway, and John Ross.
Holy mackerel, I think you need to head to the liquor store immediately.
Yes.
You need something to numb the pain, no matter what direction you go here. Honestly, I would probably bench Taylor Gabriel. Even though the Giants have crumbled defensively and they're on vacation literally somewhere on a Hawaiian beach rest of the season, I mean, Gabriel's just not seeing the target share. We're hearing reports out of Chicago this morning that Mitchell Trubisky will sit down for the second consecutive week, which means Chase Daniel will be under center. So for me, you know, knowing that Daniel is going to be the man at the control, knowing that Gabriel is seeing, you know, less than 15% of the targets overall, I would probably lean sitting him and starting the other thrice. So they're not spectacular options.
Hey, Brad, it's Anna, owner of Levy Long Gone. Now, A.J. Green says he's back to play this week. Will we see him on the field against Denver? What can we expect from him, especially with Dalton being placed on IR?
Yeah, with Jeff Driscoll, the pride of Florida, who's supposed to be the second coming of Tim Tebow, didn't exactly measure up at the collegiate level, but he's quite the athletic specimen. 6'4", 234 pounds, runs a 4.56 40-yard dash. Yes, for a quarterback, but he is wildly inaccurate beyond 15 yards. I view AJ Green. He says he's going to play. He's a staunch competitor. Knowing the Broncos are surging defensively right now, I view him more as a wide receiver three than the usual wide receiver one that we've grown accustomed to seeing. So, for me, if you have some viable alternatives, let's say you've got a Josh Rue on the Los Angeles Rams in a friendlier matchup against Devin Lawson out of the slot and the Detroit Lions, I would actually go with Riddles over A.J. Green, knowing the limitations maybe physically, and of course as well being attached to Driscoll and given the matchup. So I'm not very bullish on A.J. Green and his likely return.
Our guest is Brad Evans, fantasy football expert. Find him at Yahoo Noise on the tweets. And I'm going to throw one from the text line at you, because I'm just interested in it from a football perspective. Obviously, if we're talking about building a team, I know my answer, but if we're talking about 1 week of fantasy, Carson Wentz or Kirk Cousins?
Well, this week it's not going to be Carson Wentz. I can tell you that much. You can't rule on the Washington Redskins. I mean, they rank inside the top 10 in terms of fantasy points per game allowed to the quarterback position. Josh Norman, Quentin Dunbar combined, giving up 100-plus passer rating in their assignments. But I'm going to go with Kirk Cousins. Over-under, hugging the 50 line.
in that game against the New England Patriots, another team that you can have some success vertically against. He's got, you know, arguably two of the best receivers right now in terms of being on the same team together, and Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Kyle Rudolph is no slouch for getting Dalvin Cook more involved in the pass game as well. So for me, Kirk Cousins on the deep roster, I got him down for right around 300 passing yards, 2 to 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. That will surely get the job done, whether in a 10-teamer or 14-teamer here on the brink of the fantasy playoffs.
All right, Brad, we're having a weird connection thing with your phone, so we're going to throw you on hold for a second and see if we can't connect a little bit better. Always good to get fantasy.
It's big. It's a big
advice.
Week. Some playoffs are starting this week,
no,
I know.
That's not a real fantasy league. I veto that.
Okay.
Wow, you just accepted my ruling. I appreciate that.
I mean, I give rats behind about your ruling. I simply pointed out a fact, and you tried to rebuke it with your own cockamamie opinion. So I'm
correct.
I'm not trying to be the negative guy anymore. So continue. Yeah. Continue, Matt. You
week,
obviously know everything.
Week 13 playoff.
My league is not in the playoffs. Some
okay.
leagues
right.
are in the playoffs. And you have denounced them as not real leagues.
I don't
know where else to go with that.
I've denounced those leagues.
Rule number one of improv is...
Yes and?
Yes. Yes and. It's not no, and you completely wet blanketed what I had to say, so go ahead. Tote the rock.
Okay. Any fantasy football league that starts playoffs in week 13 is a fraud. I stand by that, and I'll go to the mat for it. I'm glad everyone agrees.
Yeah. I'm not the big fantasy guy, so I'll let you guys have that discussion.
How big was fantasy football by the end of your career?
People were playing it, but it was just then starting to get involved in the league. People were talking about it, and now it's just something that's just blown up. And I think just fantasy football, the gambling aspect of it, it's just amazing how you've gotten now. People just get their teams. They have draft parties. Freaking everything, you name it, they do it for fantasy football. So it's a whole ordeal now where, you know, people are picking, drawing numbers to get the first pick. So fantasy football, it's here and it's here to stay.
Do they have rules where you guys as players can't participate? Is that a part of the players contract, the players union?
Believe it or not, I think guys can participate in some of this stuff, and they have it where the guys actually go to some of the parties and help people pick their team. So they still do all that crap.
And so you never got the thing, because this is what I was kind of wondering. You never got the thing where some idiot is yelling at you about what you did or didn't do for his fantasy team?
No, never did. But it was interesting the other week, though, when the Rams were playing and Gurley had the ball and had a chance to score. And he falls down, which is the right thing to do in the game. And, you know, you heard him afterwards said, you know, I don't care about fantasy and all those different things, because he was trying to win a football game. So in a lot of the fantasy out there, a lot of people were disappointed because he didn't go to the end zone and could have got them some more points. So people take it very, very seriously, and they get seriously and they get disappointed when their players don't come through for them. So it's just interesting to watch how the different dynamics of fans and players, how it now is so intertwined with one another. People talking about get my fantasy stats up and all those different things. Draft me. You know, you saw when we were in my day, you know, the PlayStation and all the different things were out there. People always wanted to make sure that they had, you know, they wanted to have the super skills, the 99 plus, and I had that in blocking.
Of course you did. We all know that. We do have Brad back on a great connection, which means he can talk to the people. So let's go right to the phone lines. Luis in Stockton has a question for fantasy expert Brad Evans. Go ahead, Luis.
Yeah, I got a PPR league. I need to fill in the flex. I got TJ Yeldon, Gus Edwards, who was my last guy?
Was it Peyton Barber?
Doug Martin.
No, it wasn't.
Peyton Barber, there you go.
Okay. Right. Brad?
Yeah, I actually go with Gus Edwards there, assuming that it's all systems go. He was a DNP yesterday due to an ankle injury, so that's something you're going to have to monitor. Not necessarily if he misses today, but tomorrow. Friday is always the critical practice day. If he does suit up, at least gets in some limited work on the last practice of the week tomorrow, then I think he'll be able to gut it out and play in a premium matchup against the Atlanta Falcons, who rank inside the top three in terms of fantasy points allowed to the running back position. So if Edwards, again, assuming that he suits up, I think he's going to get anywhere between 90 to a buck 10 on the ground. Not going to catch any balls, but I think he finds the end zone. And even in a PPR league, it's going to best the other two options.
All right, let's go to Val in San Bruno. Your question for Brad.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Loving this new connection that Brad is on. Appreciate it. two coin flips for you. Non-PPR league, James White versus Tariq Cohen. And would you put Lamar Jackson ahead of Kirk Cousins?
Yes, I would, actually, to answer your last question first. I love Lamar Jackson. I think the fans in Atlanta are going to look at him and think, oh, my God, when did Michael Vick come out of retirement? Because Lamar is that athletically gifted. I think he goes over the 200-yard passing mark for the first time this season. I think he gets a touchdown through the air, another 50 to 70 on the ground, and a rushing score that you have to stomach a couple of turnovers. But that will best what Kirk Cousins does. And in terms of your running back conundrum, I go and maximize the matchup, and I go with Tariq Cohen. Yeah, he's been under 59 combined yards in three consecutive games, but he's finding the end zone with regularity. I think he's right around that 55 to 60 total yard mark against the Snacks Harrison-less G-men. Harrison, of course, now with the Detroit Lions. Since trading him away, they've allowed close to 5 yards per carry to the running back position, so you got to take advantage of that weakened front, and I think Cohen and Howard most certainly will.
All right, we go from running back question to wide receiver question. D in Alameda, go.
Hey, you guys. Thanks for taking my call. I need 3 receivers, DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Evans, Josh Gordon, Josh Reynolds, and would you play the Saints D tonight? Thanks, guys.
Well, it depends on what other options you have out there on defense. Let's say if you got the Miami Dolphins available to you going against the Buffalo Bills, I'd prefer them over New Orleans. This may sound like a scorching hot ghost pepper level take, but I think the Dallas Cowboys upset the New Orleans Saints tonight. I think they're going to get them 27-24. I'm taking the slight under, which stands at right now at 52. Dallas getting 7.5 in this game, and I think the Cowboys going to rise the occasion at home. You're definitely going to go with DeAndre Hopkins and my cousin, Mike Evans, for your top 2 wide receiver options. And again, I'm going to go back to Josh Reynolds before my connection got shoddy. He's a guy that I talked up. Look, he's got drawn Nevin Lawson in coverage out of the slot. The Lions DBs giving up a 115-plus passer rating to his assignment. So I think Reynolds can get back to what he did before the bye week against the Kansas City Chiefs, which is right around a handful of catches, 80 yards, and a score.
Let's go to Paper Petler in Burlingame and switch over to the quarterback position. What's up?
Mr. Evans, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Dak Prescott or Baker Mayfield?
I got to go with the Dak attack, brother. It's Tequila Thursday, baby. Fill up the cup and sit back and enjoy the ride because Dak is going to have a premium game tonight. I mean, you look at the New Orleans Saints. They have been overly generous at the quarterback position this season. They're giving up north of 8 yards per attempt inside the top 5 in most fantasy points allowed to signal callers. And Dak Prescott, without much fanfare, very quietly, very stealthily, has been QB8 in terms of fantasy points per game since week 8. Having Amari Cooper around has really boosted the profile. He's gotten Zeke Elliott more involved in the pass game. And again, I'm sticking to this narrative. I believe the Cowboys are going to pull off the stunner, and it's going to be largely due to Dak Prescott's play, who I have projected fearlessly, mind you, for 276 passing yards, 2 passing touchdowns, 24 rushing, and a rushing score. Yes, that's sexy.
That is fearless. Let's go to Alex in San Francisco. A couple more before we part ways with Brad Evans. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Goat. I'm filling a flex position in a .5 PPR, and I'm looking at Jarvis Landry or Adam Humphries. Thank you.
Well, Jarvis Landry is officially dead to me, so I would not go with Jarvis. He has not found the end zone at seemingly in an eternity. Adam Humphries, meanwhile, has been doing the Humpty Hump for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he's going to get stupid again this week going against the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers rank inside the top 10 in most fantasy points allowed to the wide receiver position. He has been the apple of Jameis Winston's eye operating out of the slot. The over-under in this game is at 56, which I think is going to sail over. Remember, both these teams accounted for 70 combined points back in week 9. I think Humphries has got a really good shot of surpassing 70 yards and finding the end zone. I start him with the utmost confidence.
I really was trying to come up with a good Humpty Dance line to throw back at you, but I keep stumbling into ones that are not safe for radio.
You once got busy in a Burger King bathroom?
Yeah.
You can say that on radio.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I should have said that on radio, but congratulations, you got to say it instead. Last one for Brad Evans, the GOAT, Sam and Leandro. What's up?
Hello, good morning. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I have a bunch of running backs. Aaron Jones, must start. Lindsay, must start. But I have Breida and Chubb. They both have tough matchups. Who do I start?
Well, Matt Breida's matchup really isn't that difficult on paper. The Seattle Seahawks have been serving up 100-yard games to running backs here in consecutive weeks. I believe it's three straight weeks of running backs gone over at least 100 combined yards. You know that Breida, all the limitations with the ankle, you hope that he can survive a full four quarters of action. But knowing how generous in this holiday season the Seahawks have been to that position, I think you got to maximize the matchup. He's got to be a point of emphasis in the offensive scheme for Kyle Shanahan and company. I think he goes over the century mark again. I think he's got a good shot of finding the end zone. I prefer him more than Nick Chubb, who has an extremely difficult matchup against that ferocious front of the Houston Texans, which has allowed just 3.43 yards per carry to RBs this year.
He is the GOAT, Brad Evans, Yahoo Fantasy Sports Expert. Follow him on Twitter at Yahoo Noise. Always appreciate it.
Gracias, amigo. Good luck this week, especially with those wide receivers. Sorry.
Oof. It's a deep, deep league. I'm hanging in there, is what I can tell you.
Keep hanging, baby.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And we appreciate Brad. We also very much appreciate the time taken by Farhan Zaidi, the Giants president of baseball operations, who joined us a little earlier. And we have some of the best of that coming right back at you right after this. I'm Matt Kolsky in for Joe. It is Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
The Warriors take on Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors today at 5.
Durant, one-on-one on Isaac, takes the jumper, got it, nailed it!
Tune into Warriors Live at 3:30 for your chance to win $900 on Warriors Trivia Takedown.
Money!
Only on the home of the NBA champs, 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
We are back on Joe Lowe and Dibs. I am not Joe. I am Matt Kolsky. I'm here for Joe as he participates in and celebrates the birth of his second child. Big congrats to Mr. and Mrs. Fortenbaugh. Also want to remind you that Alaska Airlines and 95.7 The Game are teaming up this basketball season to send you and three guests to Hawaii. It's the Hawaii for the Holidays getaway, courtesy of Alaska Airlines. You register now at 95.7thegame.com, and then starting Monday, December 3rd, tune into this very program at 7:20 a.m. Each morning, a name will be announced. The person who owns that name then has 9 minutes and 57 seconds to call and qualify for the Hawaii for the Holidays getaway, courtesy of Alaska Airlines. Those who qualify will be in the drawing for the winner. Winner will be announced December 14th at 7:30 a.m. And, of course, if you want more info, you can always just go to 957thegame.com for all the details. Now, earlier this morning, Lowe and Dibs and I had the great pleasure of talking to Giants president of baseball operations, Farhan Zaidi. And of course, we had a lot to ask him about. Very big offseason for the Giants coming up. But the big story over the last couple of days has been the Madison Bumgarner situation. So when we got Farhan, the first thing we asked him was very simply, have you had conversations about Madison Bumgarner as far as trading him, and do you expect him to be a San Francisco Giant when spring training starts in February?
Yeah, you know, I have to give the national reporter who reported that some credit. I think he just floated a trial balloon out there and wanted to see if anyone would contradict him or if he was breaking news. because, you know, the reality is, you know, we are, you know, really laying some groundwork with teams in terms of conversations, figuring out needs, figuring out interest levels. And, you know, nothing's far along, you know, really on any front. I expect that's going to pick up, you know, over the next week or so going into the winter meetings. So the message that we've put out there is, you know, we're in a stage of potential transition. We definitely want to be competitive, but we also recognize we're going to have to be open to creative ideas and basically be open to anything and everything. So, you know, if that message is being taken about a specific player, I guess there's nothing we can do about that. But that's been our kind of overarching philosophy in these trade discussions so far.
How challenging is it for you to come into the situation knowing there are so many fan favorites, yet some of these players may end up being moved. Are you finding it challenging to strike that balance between potentially keeping favorite players and also trying to jumpstart some sort of a rebuild?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And frankly, it's something that front offices deal with all the time. And, you know, that's what we're, paid to do, is make some of these difficult trade-offs and, you know, make even the unpopular decision when we really feel like it's the right one. So, you know, that's always something that you have to navigate. But at the end of the day, you talk about fan favorites, and, you know, they're fan favorites because they've helped this team win championships and win games. And that's ultimately what fans want to see, is a winning product. And as we try to figure out how to get from, you know, a 73 win season where we were last year to being more competitive, to getting back over 500, to making a playoff push, you know, there might have to be some changes in the personnel to make that happen.
No question. You're going to be charged with trying to make the Giants great again. And you understand it's a very delicate situation. How do you do it in a way where the players, I played, 16 years in the NFL, and understanding some good things must come to an end, but how do you do it with the class and understand, hey, this must happen if we're going to get to where we need to get?
Yeah, I think you just communicate and you treat guys with respect. So, you know, I've tried to reach out to players and just, let them know that I respect what they've accomplished. You know, I've tried to get input from different players on what's happened here last year and what they think needs to happen going forward. But you also try to be honest and say, you know, we don't know, you know, what next year's team is going to look like. There could potentially be some changes.
Sure.
You know, what I found is just don't make, promises you can't keep. And people will always respect honesty, even if they don't like the ultimate outcome. So that's kind of the way I try to do things. And, again, when you start talking to players and creating those relationships, there's almost a temptation to kind of curry favor with them and maybe overpromise on certain things. But you really have to check yourself, because, you know, over the long run, what's going to be important for you and your relationship with those players is your credibility. And so you don't want to say things that you're going to have to go back on later.
Our guest is Farhan Zaidi, president of baseball operations for the San Francisco Giants. And I know one of the things you said at your opening press conference is you had a lot of work to do just getting to know the organization that you're now in charge of. And I imagine you've had a lot of time to do some self-scouting over the last, I guess, month or so. I'm curious, are there young guys that we maybe haven't heard about that you got particularly excited about as you went through that process? And sort of how is the self-scout going, if that makes sense?
Yeah, you know, what I am most enthusiastic about, you know, in terms of the pipeline that, you know, we're going to see graduate to the major leagues over the next year or two, other than, Joey Bart, the catcher that I think everybody sees as, a big part of this team going forward, and Ramos, the center fielder who, is maybe a little bit further away but really has the star upside, there's a really good pitching pipeline, coming up through the minor leagues. There's a couple of relievers in Melvin Adon, who just got added to the 40-man, and Camilo Doval, who, have really, really high-octane stuff and I think are going to be pitching at the end of games for us, in the next year or two. And you add that to, what I think is one of the best bullpens in baseball with some of the guys that we have. And, the depth of the bullpen really, I think, is the strength of the team at the major league level. So you've got a really good bullpen at the major league level, and then you've got some guys coming who I think are only going to add to that. And, the way the modern game is being played, the ability to shorten the game is going to be a huge advantage.
How difficult is it to try to assess what you have when you come in November, December? There's no games being played. Do you lean on Brian Sabian and Dick Tidrow and some of the veterans in the front office to maybe bring you up to speed on exactly what you have prospect-wise?
Absolutely. I mean, I would say thank God there aren't games being played right now. I feel like I'm even falling further behind. So we press pause on the games for a bit, and you can play a little bit of catch up. And I do have a little bit of an advantage, even coming into a new situation of having been in the NL West the last few years and knowing this club pretty well from a competitor standpoint. But certainly the institutional knowledge that Brian and Dick and some of the other guys in the front office have, as well as getting to talk to the players, getting to talk to Boach, All that stuff is just going to accelerate the process of familiarizing myself with the organization.
Is it more challenging for you approaching this season because Bruce Bochy is a manager with three world championships and a certain amount of gravitas, and he's entering the final year of his contract? So is it almost a little bit walking on eggshells for you the first year, just trying to make sure that everyone's comfortable with the new processes that are being put forward?
I don't anticipate that at all because, you know, in our early conversations, I mean, I've expressed, and it's genuine, it's not kind of manufactured, but, you know, I have tremendous respect for what Boach has accomplished here with the three world championships. He knows this roster and this organization as well as anybody. And, you know, I've been really, you know, encouraged and humbled that, you know, what he said about, you know, what he thinks I can bring to the table. So, you know, he's had a very, you know, and I'm not surprised by it, but he's been kind of very open-minded to what our conversations are going to be like. And, you know, having an exchange back and forth, not just on the day-to-day of you know, lineups and what we're doing on the pitching side, but frankly on the personnel side too, because, you know, the ability of the manager to give his opinions on potential free agents and trades, you know, should be part of the process as well.
Our guest is Farhan Zaidi, the president of baseball operations for the San Francisco Giants. And I'm curious, obviously, you've heard the same things we've all read over the years about how it's difficult for the Giants to attract power in particular because of the ballpark that they play in. And in fact, even if they do attract power, it may not look quite as powerful playing next to a bay in an oddly sized ballpark. So I guess a two-part question here. Number one, is that something that's a big part of your decision-making? Knowing what the ballpark is, knowing that power doesn't necessarily play, does that affect your team building? And sort of part and parcel to that, is there ever any consideration of adjusting the ballpark to ease that stress of recruitment?
Yeah, I don't think there's any conversation about that, because at the end of the day, if your home ballpark, you know, has its idiosyncrasies, you should be able to construct a team, and the players should be able to, you know, interact with the ballpark in a way that creates a home field advantage for you. I mean, you know, baseball's the sport of the major sports that has the least of a home field advantage. And some of that is that, you know, ballparks are uniform everywhere. So if you have a more unique situation, hopefully you can create a roster, and hopefully the players can relate to the ballpark in a way that makes that an advantage for you. As far as the roster construction goes, you know, with respect to the ballpark, you know, clearly, you know, certain types of power play better than others. Guys with kind of right-handed hitters with pull power who can get to left field seats, that's probably, you know, the most accessible seats from a hitter standpoint in the ballpark. You know, and if you've got a, you know, left-handed hitter who's got, you know, more power to the alleys, you know, certainly that right center field alley, triples alley, you're going to lose a lot of home runs there for sure. So you try to look at those things, but at the same time, you got to go on the road and play 81 games in other ballparks. And when you're at home, the visiting team is playing in the same ballpark with the same conditions. So I don't think you want to psych yourself out and build a team that's maybe more catered to the ballpark, but not as talented as it might otherwise be, because then you're going to put yourself an advantage. Disadvantage when you go on the road. So it's definitely front of mind, and the guys here have done a really good job of creating ways to evaluate hitters in particular in terms of how they're going to play in our ballpark, but you've got to balance that with other factors as well.
Giants president of baseball operations Farhan Zaidi here on 95.7 The Game. Scouting is a big thing, obviously, when it comes to prospects. Philosophically, as you look at the Giants and what they've done before you arrived, do you see any areas of need as far as improvement goes, whether it's international scouts or the college game? Where do you think you can make the most inroads with the prospects in this team?
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I think will help boost the farm system is a renewed emphasis on knowing the strike zone and plate discipline as far as the position players go. And again, I think this is some of where the trickle down from knowing the major league ballpark and, you know, particularly with right-handed hitters, making them pull conscious, knowing that's where they're going to be able to find the seats at the major league level, might be undermining their development in other ways. Because as I kind of look through the team's minor league stats, you know, you see a lot of very skewed walk to strikeout ratios, which is, you know, very, you know, the first indicator you look at when you're thinking about, you know, has this guy got good plate discipline or not. So I think renewing our emphasis on that and trying to get guys to balance those walk and strikeout ratios as they're coming up through the minor leagues. And if they have to sell out for power when they get to the major league level because of the ballpark, you know, that adjustment can be made on the fly. But certainly when guys are coming up through the system, would like to see better knowledge of the strike zone with a position player.
That was Giants president Farhan Zaidi. And like I said, right after we got off with him the first time, I find him very impressive as a talker for a GM. That's not always the case. And we got a text just now, and I realize this is said somewhat in jest, but I think it's relevant. It says, I would have rather given Farhan the $100 million that Gruden got to have him run the Raiders. At least he wouldn't lie to the Raider fans.
Well, yeah, and that's to your point about Farhan. It seems like he's a nice mix of being personable, but also being analytical, and that's exactly what this organization needs.
All right. This organization, specifically Joe Lowe and Dibs, I'm being told we have a special guest. Well, there's no cymbal crash? Guest, who are you, and what brings you to the program?
First off, Kolsky, don't ever put me on hold for Farhan Zaidi ever again. The guy just got to town. I've been here 4 years. I take precedence, son.
I think you know that Cody's giving the orders around here. I have no control.
Number two, Mo.
What's up, buddy?
It looks like Steph Curry's going to play tonight. You won the bet. I owe you a grilled cheese sandwich.
I told you he wasn't going to play. But, Joe, it's bigger and better things. I don't care about me winning bets. I'm always usually winning.
No. This wasn't an invitation for you to give a take. I was just confirming that you won the bet. That was the extent of all that was needed from you. One last thing before we get to the props. Kolsky, you're doing a hell of a job from what I understand. And by what I understand, I haven't checked in on anything today, so I have no idea how this is going. But I'll give you one piece of advice. When Lowe and Dibs are talking, stare directly into their mouths and nod every 7 to 12 seconds so they think you're paying attention. But here's the key. You can't actually listen to what they are saying or you will become stupider. Do not look directly into the take. It will fry your brain.
Information I really could have used 3 hours and 47 minutes ago.
All right, now down to business. I know there's some props. I don't want to hear how anyone wagered on them, but I do have results from UCSF Benioff. Dibs, if you have the drum roll ready, we can go one by one here. Well, I should give the prop, and then you do the drum roll and give the answer. Prop number one, the weight of the baby.
Better.
Idiots. When I'm not there, it's...
The weight of the
baby, 7 pounds, 7 ounces. Pay the under. 7 pounds, 5 ounces.
Thank you. Yes, that felt great.
All right, number two, we could do eye color, but anyone who's had a baby knows eye color is kind of a futures bet. You really don't get the answer on that for a few weeks, so we'll revisit that one. Hair, yes, minus 120, bald plus 110, Dibs?
What is here?
Yes, there was in fact hair, pay the favorite.
That's a win for Kagarakis right there. For Kagarakis is everywhere.
Good win. Good bet, Anna. Smart play. Small favorite. Chubbs had hair. It's a good value rager based on earlier trends. And finally, did the baby urinate on the mother within the first 2 minutes of life? Dibs, drum roll. No, the baby did not urinate all over Nikki. That is a no. Pay the no, minus 110.
That is awesome. What is the young man's name, Joe? I mean, you're burying the lead here, kid.
The young man is pissed off. This guy came in the earth so angry. Chubbs came in the earth as chill as a cucumber. This guy was yelling, screaming, I'm starting to wonder who the father is, boys, because we all know I'm patient, cool in the pocket. It can't be my kid yelling and screaming like that.
I was thinking that you may just want to name him Joseph Harrison Fortenbaugh the sixth, just to keep it rolling a la George Foreman.
I'm not lying. I actually did make a play for that, but it was shot down pretty quick. The official name of the baby, Wyatt Allen Fortenbaugh.
Wyatt, that's
Allen
strong.
Fortenbaugh, boys. So there it is. Now, one last nugget before I move on to real world issues and get off whatever this program is, because I can't imagine there are billions listening to whatever you guys have been throwing out there today. But I'll give you this. If you go back to February 2nd, 2017, when Chubbs Fortenbaugh was born, the Golden State Warriors were 7-point favorites over the Los Angeles Clippers. Daddy Fortenbaugh made a sizable wager to see if this child would be good luck, and the Warriors did, in fact, cash. I was wearing my lucky shirt that day. I'm wearing my lucky shirt right now. The Warriors play tonight. They are 9.5-point underdogs. I'm not saying it's a 401k play, but if you're interested in getting involved tonight, I don't know, maybe the kid's a mush. You might want to play Toronto. Lay the points with Toronto tonight. The kid's probably a mush.
Wow. Instead of beat the bookie, it's beat the baby, apparently.
Wow.
That's how we're doing things around.
That's we do not advocate that on
a
the
defeat.
Station.
The beat is a synonym for defeat.
Cool,
Matt.
Cool.
Joe.
Hurry back, Joe.
Yeah, hurry back. We love you. Congratulations. Question for you, though, Joe. The Saints is playing.
No questions.
The Saints. The Saints, the Saints in Dallas tonight. I'm sorry, Joe. We're all out of time.
Lo, I hate you.
Yes. Congratulations, Joe, from all of us to all of you. It's awesome. Enjoy all the time. Young Wyatt, it's awesome. We'll see you when you get back here.
Great name, though, by the way.
Great name.
He's gone already. But Wyatt, I like that name.
Like that he's gone?
Yeah.
Gone, Wyatt. Gone, daddy, gone. No, I'm the only one with the gone, daddy, gone reference, apparently.
No.
Fair enough.
I don't know what that is.
It's a movie.
Oh, okay.
Gone Baby Gone, a movie Gone Daddy Gone. Love is gone. Gone.
Okay. Right.
I won't sing it for you. I'm just saying.
I wish you would. Low versus Dibs, our head-to-head pick'em contest, week 13. I've got a 4-game lead. We are down now to the final 80 games in the National Football League. We're down to just 80 games. And all the buys are done. You've got 5 weeks of 16 games per week. Lo, you won last week, so you can pick first for the Thursday game, or you can defer till tomorrow.
No, I'm going to pick first today, and I'm going to take my Saints. Drew Brees.
Your Saints?
Well,
huh.
I have a personal relationship with a lot of guys and a lot of
true
on the team. So
just days ago on this very program, though, you were talking about how Dallas is going to win, now you go full switchola.
Well,
it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm also on New Orleans.
I should have known.
Yeah, you should have known. You probably should have, but yeah, that's
is that
unfortunately right? That's all we have time for today.
That kind of sucks the fun out of Low versus Dibs if you're picking the same thing.
No,
right?
It gets
heated come Friday when we do the full slate.
Right.
Let me just say this, Matt, on behalf of all of us with the program. Thank you so much for getting it out today. You came in on virtually no notice. We heard from Joe at about midnight, 12:30, that he was going to be out for baby duty, and you stepped in and you did a great job. I must say, it's not easy.
Matt, you did a hell of a job. And considering
don't try to one up my compliment.
No, because considering the fact that Daniel really put you
shut
in
up,
the chair.
Lowe.
He put you in.
Yeah, exactly.
He put you, yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
You
he
guys
put
are
you
both,
in a buzzsaw.
Thank you, Dibs. You're welcome, Joe.
You responded well.
People who are very kind. Two more wonderful people coming up next, Steiny and Ratto on 95.7 The
Go
Game.
Go to hell, Dibs.
No, I hate you.